Okay, well, we're continuing in our series, all right, Biblical Guidance in Life. Last week, we talked about what does God say about how we should make decisions regarding our activities, our possessions, our leisure, and we highlighted three principles, but today we're going to seven more, right, which is based on a particular verse. I think it's just useful for us to look at that, okay? So let's have a word of prayer, and after that, we'll dive in, and we'll really thank God for everyone that's here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence. The Lord, you have given us an opportunity even in this world so that even the world recognizes, Lord, one day a week to be set aside so that we can recharge, we can do the things we need. But we know that biblically, Lord, you want your people, although we're not Jews today, but we are your people based on our relationship with Christ. The Lord, even a day set apart to worship you. Because from Monday to Saturday, Father, many times we are very busy, and Lord, you understood then in Exodus 20, where it says, 6 days thou shalt work. On the seventh day, Lord, you set it apart so that for us as Christians, we can retune our hearts to heaven. We can readjust, Father, our frequency back to you. Many times we, not deliberately, but because of our duties, forget, or we did not meditate enough on who you are, what your word says. We are grateful, Lord, that you've considered this in the economy of this world. We pray right now, Father, as we read your word, to understand some of the biblical principles by which we need to guide our activities, our leisure times, our possessions. I pray, Father, that we will never forget the principles, Lord, of how we belong to you, first of all, and that our life is to glorify you. Secondly, Lord, that the balanced Christian life is doing what your word says. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us in a special way, I pray, for a need in the heart of men, anyone, the brethren here, people who are coming, I pray that need will be met through your word. Teach us to make decisions that will glorify you and that will reflect, Father, your guidance in our lives. And we'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I hope everyone have your set of notes. I deliberately put some blanks there so you can write down whatever the Lord impresses on you, but also based on the principles. Okay, so there are two verses there that we have already talked about last week, and we had some lively discussion about. We'll just go through that very quickly, recap of last week's lessons. Alright, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul, in teaching the Corinthian church about immorality, basically, okay, he says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. We found out that expedient means profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Okay, that's the first verse. 1 Corinthians 10:23. In the two verses together, we see three principles that we need to have in our lives as we make, ask God to guide us. He says in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 10, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. He repeats 1 Corinthians 6:12, but the second part, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So there are three principles that we talked about last week. As we look at any possession, any activity, any leisure activities that we're involved in, these three principles ought to guide us in making the decision. Okay, first one, is this activity or the things I'm going to buy expedient? The word expedient means what? Profitable. Is it beneficial to me as a believer? As a believer, okay, of course, sometimes for humans, exercise, for example, is beneficial for us, okay, to make sure that we are sharp in our thinking. Let me just give an example, okay? Is overnight cycling an expedient activity? Is overnight cycling an expedient activity? Now, I'm just throwing it out, okay? Overnight cycling. It's quite popular, but is it an expedient activity? How many of you say it's an expedient activity? Well, in terms of physical exercise, yes. Okay, but what else must we consider? It's overnight exercise. Let me just go through the three first, then we talk about that. Okay. Question number two is, can and will this possession or activity bring me under its control? In other words, does it have the potential to control me? Okay. And the third question is, does the activity or possession have the capacity to build up my Christian faith through understanding more of the Word of God and the building of our character? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 23, the last part, all things edify not. Okay, things may be legitimate, not morally wrong. But as believers, there's another layer that we need to think about. Does it build me up as a Christian? Okay, so overnight cycling, just throw it out. Overnight cycling, is it an expedient activity based on this? Or rather, is it based on these three questions? What are your thoughts about overnight cycling? Anyone? I have my own thoughts about that, but I want you to just throw it out. Yes. Okay. 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 Anyone else? Overnight cycling? I don't know about you. Sorry. Okay. 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 So in that, think through. If you've planned the activity for the daytime, okay, think through. But overnight cycling, what's the difference between the two?
Okay, it's cooler at night if you do it.
What other things do you need to think about? Okay, cycling at night is different from overnight cycling. It means you cycle from, like you know, some people like 10 p.m. all the way to 7 a.m. the next morning. That's a bit different. We do have activities nowadays that people will cycle overnight, 7 a.m. And then after they reach home, they crash out until next morning. Yeah. So the context is very important. Yes, I do agree. Okay, but if you have activity the whole day versus overnight cycling, I think all of us have made a decision for ourselves. My personal thought is, in terms of, I got counsel from another person, but for me, it wastes my whole day, the next day. It actually, because I'm just, I can't do much after that. And what more is, God, usually in the daytime, much of the errands and the jobs are being done. But if you do an overnight activity, okay, it kind of, you crash out the next day. Basically, you waste the next day. Okay? The counsel I have on this, it was George Mueller. George Mueller actually said, never try to do, he always made a point, never try to do train trips overnight because it makes the body so tired you cannot be spiritually sharp to do your devotions the next morning. Now, that was one thing that he actually gave wise counsel about. So I'm just throwing it out because I'm not saying it's wrong in itself. The activity of overnight cycling is not wrong. Fellowship and all that. But the implications of that we need to consider as well. Could be that there may be a service the next day. It could be that you have to do something important like brother and sister say the next day and kind of just, you still go, but you're like, you kind of affect the next day's activities. So that is something that we need to consider. I mean, if it's a school holiday and your parents allow you to crash out, but even with that, you need to also see our responsibility before God. Say, if I'm waking up at 12 noon, I still do my devotions, all that, it's not a problem, it doesn't affect anyone. Fine, go ahead. Okay, the planning of the whole day's activities generally is planned by parents. Okay, you actually have a goal for that. So it's definitely educational, helpful. It's not a problem. So I think we need to think through. Okay, weather does play a part. Yes, it's cooler to cycle in the evening. Yes, but so we need to think about that. Okay, so all activities, even in planning, we need to be careful. Okay, so that we don't actually. Basically, having God's guidance is the best thing to do in that situation. It's not so much of doing the activity, but it's just the best way of expression. Okay? Of course, overnight cycling, if it's just for... So I know some groups just do it regularly. It's part of their gang or whatever. I mean, that's fine if it encourages one another and all that, but we also have to consider what happens the next day. Yeah. And it's actually individual. I mean, if you have to work the next day, I don't think it's wise to go overnight cycling. As much as you want to support the youth group or whatever, you do have your duties to perform the next day as well. Okay? So, all right. Now, today we're going to go up to the next 7 tests that I hope I've kind of do into a chart, which I will send next week. Because I'm just going through to make sure that, it's actually quite cued into the steps that we need to take. So, in every activity, in every situation, in every major purchases we make, we can actually go through a list of questions based on the Bible to make our decisions. Okay, this is applicable for not only adults but even children, teenagers. They look at example: should I be friends or should I hang out lots with this group of people you put the Bible principles and apply them. Should I buy this $20,000 thing? Then you put those Bible principles so that we can actually have very clear biblical guidance. Okay? So the next one is, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9. This is an interesting passage. If you look at what Paul is trying to get the Philippian Christians to think about, also in application to ourselves. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Let's read from verse number 8. Okay, read verse number 8. 4, verse 8. Ready? 8 and 9. Ready? 1, 2. Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. Okay, is there one there? Just wait for one another. Okay, let's read 4 and 8. 4, verse 8 and 9. 1, 2, go. Finally, my brethren, okay, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learnt and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Okay. Paul, in this passage, if you look at the context of the passage, it starts in verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. There are two guiding principles, just as a background. He says, let your moderation, let the balance in your Christian life be seen by all men. And he gives the express reason, the Lord is at hand. The coming of God is at hand. The way we use our time is very important. It's not merely, I just have all the time in the world to do what I want. But Paul is very careful. On Friday, we talk about the fact that we need to live our lives in view of the second coming of Christ. So Paul talks about that very clearly. And then in verse 6, there may be many things happening. Remember, Paul in the book of Philippians, he is actually in prison. He actually admonished the Christians, be anxious for nothing, be careful for nothing, don't be full of care for anything, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then the outcome is the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So he talked about being balanced biblically, understanding the coming of the Lord. Don't be anxious as things happen. Pray so that God's peace can be upon you. And then finally, he says, this is how you need to think. This is how you need to actually make decisions, all right, in the context. He's helping us, giving principles of how we need to guide our mind and thinking, so that we can do the things that God wants us to do. All right? So biblical guidance, 7 tests based on this particular verse. We go through them in detail. I know this one oftentimes says it's a guideline for how we need to think. But really, in decision making, these are the process we need to go through too, in terms of decision making. Because many times as Christians, we would make decisions based on one point. We forget all the other points. And this is a very, very important thing we need to understand. We cannot make decisions based on one thing and ignore the others. What God wants us to have is a comprehensive way of looking at how God wants to guide us, okay? Especially for teenagers, I can tell you, if you take this seriously, it will really guide your life. Many of us adults look back and say, I wish I knew this. Even for myself, as I look through this, I studied that, I realize I wish someone would have taught me earlier how to make decisions. Okay, so please don't take this for granted. All right, let's study together. All right, 7 tests. Okay, the first 3 we've given is the activity, expedient, profitable. Can and will this possession bring me under control? Or does it build my faith? And then the 7 other tests based on Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 is, number 1, whatsoever things are true. The word true here has to do with truth and the truth of God. Whatsoever things are true in itself. Looking at the activity, the possession, or the leisure activity, is that thing true? In other words, does it have to do with the truth or the truth of God? Okay, we are to align the pursuits, possessions in line with the truth of God. With what the Bible says, and not to buy things or to be involved in things and activities that are actively in opposition to God and His standards. So even as you make decisions, We have to think, Lord, is this true? Okay? Example, I'll just give some examples. You can throw in some examples. So as you go along, please think of examples. Okay? Example is spending money on CD, pop culture, games that have demonic pictures. I cringe. I've seen on Facebook sometimes people would show, I got my computer games from overseas, and then there's this demonic picture there. And he's a Christian. I cringe. The thing is not true according to this. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, as a Christian, that particular purchase fails the test of God's guidance. God is not in there. Okay? If you spend money on CD that teaches or that have worldly philosophies, it fails God's guidance. If you download things onto your MP3, or do you have this MP3 now, right? MP3, MP4, MP5, the MP5? I don't know, I'm not very good. But if you download and pay money for it, is that purchase biblically guided? Or is it what you want? Okay? Based on this, if the song uses worldly thinking and philosophy, then it fails this test. Okay? Or computer games that we are involved in. I know people play, I know this thing about Crossy Street, and I think there's this, there's bricks, right? There's neutral, sometimes it's just time and things like that. But when people spend money on computer games that really are expensive, number one, number two, it has questionable materials in there, then it actually fails this truth test. Okay? And if you really want God's guidance, God's word must be the principle whereby we guide even that. Okay? We are to shun all works which are designed to promote and glorify a godless lifestyle. All a life, or is glorifying a life of immorality, a life that will draw people away from the Lord. When we buy things or are involved in activities, we need to ask, if I'm engaged in this, will it be against God's truth? If you truly want God to guide us, every purchase, every activity we have or do, we need to ask, does it actually go against any part of God's truth? Any part means any part. Okay? One of the things I can think of, you can give some examples, movies with vulgarity, persistent vulgarity, that is not glorifying to God. Korean movies, Japanese soap operas, horror movies, is it in line with God's truth? You think about that. If you honestly think, these things are against God's truth, and therefore for us to want God's guidance in our life, say, God, it fails the test, I'm not going to be involved in it. I'm not going to pay money for it. Okay, does that make sense? Any questions? I know many Christians are involved in watching Korean movies. Many Christians are involved in the pop culture. But honestly, if we look at, does it square with biblical truth? Okay, we are in the business of understanding what is better and what is best. To us, it may feed our need for this kind of dramas, but it doesn't help our spiritual life. Okay, and it's not in line with God's truth. So you know what you need to do? Well, God, it fails this truth test. I'm not going to spend my money or time on it. Does that make sense? Any questions? Okay, that's the first. I'll keep going, then you can ask questions at the end, all right? I'll try to finish it. Okay, test number two. Whatever things are honest. Firstly, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, okay? Is what I'm going to do, for test number one, the question is what I'm going to do or buy consistent with what the Bible teaches, okay? Test number two, whatever things are honest. Whatever things are honest has the idea of, is it worthy? Is it noble? Does it reflect my standing as a child of God? Okay, whatever things are honest. Is what I'm going to do or buy worthy of my standing as a child of God? Do I have to hide what I'm going to buy or what I'm going to do from people? It has the idea of transparency. If what I buy, I have to hide from people, we need to ask ourselves why we need to hide from people. Is it something that, oh, I don't want people to know about this. We need to question that, okay? I'm not saying we need to be clear. This question actually helps us to understand a few things. Let me just go through what I have here. Whatever things are honest, worthy, or noble, we need to ask if the proposed activity or item we're going to buy or honest and open and something that does not have to be concealed. Does the activity we're going to be engaged in or the things that we're going to buy worthy of our standing as believers? Let's say if once again, computer games. Does an ambassador, does a child of God, my standing as a child of God, is my child, standing as a child of God worthy of this computer demonic game? No. It fails this test too. It's not honest. And I can tell you many Christians do things quietly behind the back of their parents, their pastor, their friends. Why? Because it's not honest. If there's anything you need to hide, it fails this test. Okay? Does that make sense? Any questions? I'll give an example. Let me finish. We are the children of the King of Kings, and therefore, we must be involved in activities worthy and honest and honorable as a child of God. You know, playing soccer, badminton, these are activities that you don't have to hide. Of course, there are certain personal pursuits that we do. I don't think there's anything wrong with studying a particular thing. I know some brethren would study about technology. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? But if when you have to hide something like that, an activity that you spend a lot of time in, you don't want kind of people to know, there's a question mark in whether that is biblically guided, God-guided, or self-directed. Okay? I was just trying to search for something that will actually help us to understand this. I think most of us will know Prince Harry. You know Prince? You know there's Kate and who are William, right? Okay? But William's brother is Harry, right? Yeah. Remember Prince Harry did something very... I think he was involved in some immoral stuff. Okay? Being as a Prince of England, to be involved in the immoral stuff, is that honest? Is that befitting his place as a Prince of England? No. So as a child of God, same way when we involve in activities and leisures that does not befit our position as a child of God, what kind of reputation does it give to our God? Okay? So we have to be very careful of that. As I was searching for Prince Harry, I saw, you know Prince Charles and Camilla? No, Chameleon and Camilla. You know, they're out of the limelight. You know what's happening to them right now? Because of Camilla's constant, she is an alcoholic. And because of the constant alcoholism, right now the Queen and the Prince want him out of Windsor Castle and they want a separation. It's not befitting for her to be involved in that kind of activity. It's not befitting the Duchess. Okay? And so a lot of things are happening in the royal family right now. And apparently there's move to push Prince William and Kate to become the King and Queen of England very soon. Apparently, I was just reading a lot of this tabloid news and all that as I was looking for Prince Harry. Not that I'm interested in her lifestyle. But the King, whatever things are, does the things I'm going to buy and the activity I'm going to involve in befitting my position, is it honest? Can I honestly say, if I do this, it's worthy of my position as a child of God? Of course, remember, we represent Christ to the people around. Okay? Any questions? For example, if you're consistently buying 4D as a Christian, is it honest? Brother Henry, you know, yesterday the 4123, I buy 4122. Okay, let's say if I am engaged in that, do you think I would dare to tell people as a Christian or a pastor as a Christian? No. You know what does it tell about the activity? It fails its test. As a Christian, I shouldn't be involved in it. Does that make sense? Okay, moving forward. Next one, test number 3, whatsoever things are just. Okay, whatsoever things are just. The word just means to be fair-minded in our actions and judgments, especially with regards to others, because God is perfectly just. Whatever He does, He considers all and He makes the correct judgment. Okay, whatsoever is just. So we need to ask the question, are the things we're going to buy or the activities that we'll be engaged in going to affect others in a way that does not promote growth and edification to others, including our families? Okay? We need to ask this question, is the proposed activity and purchase right and fair? Such as bringing, because this brings into focus how our conduct, how our activities affect others. Okay, yesterday we there was this Christian movie whereby this man, he's married to a wife, and he saved $24,000, all right, to buy a boat for himself. Okay, to buy a boat for himself. Okay, and then the wife's mom just had a stroke, and they needed $24,000 to buy medical equipment. Yeah, fireproof you are thinking about. Okay, and so this husband is telling his wife, I've saved this up for $24,000 to buy a boat for himself. You are not going to take that away from me. You're not going to take that away from me. Is the wanting to buy that possession just to the wife? No. Does that make sense? Okay, can you see that? Can you see the guidance on that, God's guidance? Okay. When we choose to go and play, have we considered whether the activity may inconvenience another individual, because when they are not around, someone else will have to do extra work, give extra time, in order to do what we are supposed to do in the first place. You know, this is very important because it has to do with how our conduct affects someone else. So is the activity we're going to engage in just? Just means I've considered this, and I believe this activity is fair. Yeah, I know I shared before, I used to love soccer, but God convicted my heart because playing soccer means I have to take time away from my wife. I have to give that up. Because I need to make sure that soccer is not as important as my wife. And I have to put that away, that was many, many years ago. So the activity, is soccer wrong? No. But it wasn't just. You know, this cuts across all of us because all of us have things we like to do. But does it affect someone else? Okay? So in biblically guided, you know why? Because God values relationships. And if an activity or money takes away that from whom we're supposed to spend more time with, it affects others, it inconveniences others, others have to stretch more, to do more than that activity. And we could be that time that you're supposed to be there, you're not there, that could be a time of inactivity for yourself. It's just kind of, but you know that, okay, well, I don't care, if they can go and do it. That's not just. That portion of time is not biblically guided. Does that make sense? Any questions? Okay, are we just to the people when we use our money, our time, and our energy? So, another question, are we fair to our families? No, do we choose very personal leisure pursuits disregarding family members? Example, tennis. Some people will say, sorry, Monday, Wednesday, Friday is my tennis time, okay, from 8 to 11 o'clock. So, sorry, wife and children, you're going to help yourself, okay? This time is mine. When we do that, it's not just. Because we have put that activity more important than our roles in life that God wants us to do. Okay? And this is one of the reasons why many families begin to drift. Because we're not putting emphasis where we should be. Okay? Are we buying things that we cannot afford? This affects the family. Okay? This does affect the family. And there was one time I was asked to buy a $3,000 magnetic. Maybe there's some medical value to that. I think someone asked me to buy. That was many years ago. Magnetic value, and it's about $3,000 and all that. So I told this person, so I'm going to wipe out all my savings to support you.
And then my children was just growing up, don't have anything.
So of course he wasn't very happy with me, but never mind. But so if I buy that to support him, it's not just to my family members. Does that make sense? And so I would very kindly say, well, I'm sorry, I'd like to support you, but I can't, you know. Not because I don't want to, but biblically guided, the attempt is to make sure that I'm just, even in the way I spend money, spend my time, and even my activity pursuit, does it include the people? You know, it does mean we need to live a self-denying lifestyle as a Christian. Because God has principles that He wants us to learn. And you know, we grow as a person when we make those decisions. For example, if you like tennis, but say, no, you know, my children and my wife, really, I haven't seen them the whole day. I need to, well, maybe I cut down from 3 days a week to half an hour or a day, a week kind of thing, and just spend more time. Because why? Which is a more important possession that God has for us. Does it make sense? Biblically guided activities. That's what we're aiming for. Okay, any questions? Okay, the next one. Whatever things are pure. Test number 4. The word pure means clean, innocent, modest. Clean, innocent, modest. This test requires us to examine if the activity or purchase we are going to make clean, chaste, and morally modest. So the question we need to ask is the activity I'm going to engage in or the item I'm going to buy clean, morally, chaste, pure, and does not contribute to immodesty? So if I play a computer game, for example, oh no, I'll just go through the word. Okay, so example, what clothes should believers buy and wear? Oh, Brother Johnny, wow, you're digging into my wardrobe. Ah? Not really. It's just biblically guided purchases that will glorify God and honor Him and build up the believer and don't entice people, you know. Certain styles are designed to appeal to the sinful lusts of men. Ladies, please understand this. I've mentioned it before. How ladies' dress can appeal to the lusts of men in the church. I'm not saying this here, but generally. Okay? There was one. How many of you know Fonzarelli? You know Fonzarelli? Arthur Fonzarelli? Oh, no one knows. Okay. So this is a comedy that is in 1970s. Alright? Sorry. And so, this guy, Richie Fonz, and he said, you know, these girls nowadays, they wear clothing that when they go to the beach, they can still get a tan. Oh, sorry, when they wear the clothing they wear, they can go to the beach and still get a tan. They're wearing clothing that when they go to the beach, they can still get a tan. What does that mean? They don't wear very much. Does that make sense? And we need to be careful because are the things pure? It's an object itself pure. You know, some people think it's very this spaghetti strap, this low cut, this everything is okay. Well, it's fashion, right? The question we need, if you want to be biblically guided, is when we buy the piece of clothing, is it pure, morally chaste, or does it contribute, or is it potential to contribute to immorality, modesty that can affect another brother? Okay? This is very important because many, many times, I think for sometimes ladies, primarily because men is more motivated by sight, ladies not more so by touch. But when ladies dress in a certain way, it entices the eyes of men. That's why, as a church, we take a very strong stand because we want to protect the mental and the heart of men in the church. And by the way, ladies, if you're married, you don't want to be showing parts of your body to people who are not your husbands. Okay, does that make sense? And for younger teenagers, as you grow up, please, the fashions of this world is very enticing, see-through and all that. You need to be very careful because you don't want some boyfriend to like you because of what he can see. He wants to like you because of your character. Okay, the only place he needs to see is your face. Really. Your face needs to reflect the glory of Christ. Okay, and guys, if you look at anything else except the face that reflects the glory of Christ, you're looking at the wrong place. Okay? That's why Job in 31 verse 1, what does he say? I've made a covenant with my eyes. Wherefore should I think upon a maid? Job nearly on the head because whatever someone sees goes into the head. That's why pornography is so destructive. That's why do you think the world uses scantily clad models, because it appeals. What has a lady who dressed immodestly got to do with pizza or car or engine oil? Because it sells, okay? And so as Christians, when we buy a piece of clothing, not just clothing, I'm just touching on this, but we need to ask ourselves, Lord, is it morally pure in your sight? If the Lord Jesus Christ was sitting in a congregation or following you on a day trip, would you wear that? You say, no, I don't think I'll wear that in front of the Lord. Then don't buy that in the first place. It fails that test. Okay? Other things, are the movies we watch, the songs we listen to, pure? It's not just about the physical, but are the music we listen, some of the music, it encourages immorality, it encourages go to bed and with someone else's wife, and encourages breakups, encourages teenagers to just don't care about rebellion. Frozen, for example, the song, Let It Go. Forget the rules. The song itself breeds. It's not pure because it breeds rebellion. Okay? Computer, internet games that have ladies dressed in a suggestive way. Many of them are like that today. Swimming costumes, sleeveless tops, skirts above the knees, and miniskirts. We need to consider all this. And also whether it will appeal to the flesh. You know, as a church, we discourage mixed swimming. Okay, mixed swimming means you wear swimming costume and trunks. You know, sometimes we just bare body and go. Unless we're adequate covered. Like in the church camp, everyone was adequately covered. So we had lots of fun and clean fun. We don't even have to think about anything immoral and just play and enjoy ourselves. You know? But I can tell you, ladies, if you dress in swimming costume, and guys, over time, your mind can get drifted about other things. Okay? So whatever things are pure, this is another principle, but we need to guide our activities. Test number 5. Okay, please feel free, alright, to ask questions, etc. Yes.
For guys who go to swimming pool, what is our
proper attire? For me, what I do is you know those what is that? I don't even know what it's called. It's a swim one. It's made of lycra. Those divers, huh? No, it's not. It's just but it's for me. I buy the big one. So it's like, I think like what Sister Summer wore. It's very modest. You know, it's covered. It's dark. You know, there was no issue. You know, it's all covered from the top into the bottom. All right. Usually we go very early in the morning when there's very little people, and we always stay away. Okay, for us, last time we go nowadays, we don't really have time to go. When the children were younger, we brought them. Usually go about 8 a.m. in the morning. Yeah, those people who really want to swim, they go to the Olympic size. We usually go to the, because children's, ma, we go to the children's side. I'll be, you know, those long swims, I don't remember. Long, those, like something like what Sister Summer wore, if you know, covered up. And then with this, I don't know what it's called. I don't even know what it's called. But it's just, basically it's covered up. Okay? One problem I have with it is that you can't, even though wash it properly, it stretches. So there was one time I still wear it because then my sleeve is like until here. But you know what? It covers me up. So, yeah. Okay. But,
actually, I feel that the Muslim, the way they wear
for swimming, it's
quite...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the Muslim. It's interesting that they're totally covered, you know? And so because, you see, for them, I think... Okay, let's turn to John chapter 21. Let me just... so that you see that the standard is not just me, but John 21. An inference from Scripture that teaches us the what God actually says, John chapter 21, verse 6. Okay, the context is the disciples have gone back fishing. Okay, they went to the sea, they didn't catch anything. They saw Jesus. Someone said Jesus was on the shore. Verse 6, okay, 21, verse 6. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and shall be fine. They cast there, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishers. Verse 7, it is important now. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. So John saw, Peter, Jesus is there. Notice what Peter said. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. and did not cast himself into the sea. If you understand a bit of the... And did cast himself into the sea. Okay? So here, Simon Peter, when he realized, hey, Jesus is on the shore. What did he do? Usually when you want to swim, what do? You take out and... Right? When John said, Peter, it's Jesus. First century fishermen, if you read some of the pictures, they usually are good in a loincloth, bare top. Okay? And they will throw the nets. What did Peter do when he saw it was Jesus on the shore? The Bible says he took his fisherman's clothes, covered himself, and went into the sea and swam towards Christ. Because the Bible says he was naked. Nakedness in the sight of God is not a completely wear nothing. When we show our singlet and shorts, that's nakedness. When ladies wear hot pants, but like that one, that's actually panty. 100 years ago. Satan have moved the standard so much that it's okay to wear that. Some people go to church wearing that. In sight of God, it is sin because it's nakedness. Be very, very clear on that. Our standards culturally today does not equal to God's standards today. And when we actually teach, the reason why, because we're trying to maintain what God says and to preserve the pure mindset in our people. Does that make sense? Okay, so yeah, so for swimming for guys, not say you cannot swim, but we have to cover ourselves. Like in the church camp, we wear t-shirts. In Malaysia, they basically don't really bother. In condominium pools, I know they do bother. So, well, you just buy the swimsuit, I think. And you just, wetsuit, you cover yourself. Yeah.
So in that sense, we should not allow the children to watch swimming, like sea games, swimming competition, where the guys wear back. Yeah.
As much as we... You see,
if we go to the swimming pool, a lot of guys...
That's why over time you find that it's harder and harder to... I learned one thing from my pastor in Australia. Oh, he's,
even during lunch,
I know. Who, yeah, some of them. I think this one we cannot control. Really, we cannot control. We live in the world, but we're not of this world. But we must be very clear, we are not in that category of fish. One thing I learned from my pastor in Australia, which I find very hard when I was a... young undergrad in Australia. He said, Brother Johnny, sometimes when we love the Lord, is there something that we cannot give up for God? When it comes to maintaining what God values. Yeah, so this is one area. It's very painful for some people. Very painful. Okay? So that's something that we actually need to be thinking about. Alright? For some people, when they watch the swimming, it doesn't really affect them. They're just excited that Tauli won the gold or something. And that's it. Okay, but some people, it makes them drift into other things. That those are the people who say, no, I'm not going to watch that. Okay, usually for younger children, the key thing for younger children is that we don't want them to be accustomed to something that we know potentially can change their mindset. It's okay, well, then they themselves wear those things and then affect other people. Okay, so any questions? I think it's useful to just discuss this because as a church, as we move forward, the world is getting worse. We need to be very clear where we stand. And so that God can help us to continuously grow. All right? Test number 5. Okay, let's move on. Whatever things are lovely. When I first read this verse, all of us will probably think, wow, this verse, whatever thing is nice, no picture, creativity. Actually, the word lovely there, interesting. The word lovely does not mean nice to look at. It refers to being friendly towards. It means, it has the idea of communicating care and love to another person. Okay? Oh, that was a lovely gesture. Does that make sense? That was a lovely gesture. We have in our camp, lovely Louis. Right? And we don't say, wow, he looks very nice. No, lovely Louis has the idea. Oh, what? He communicates care and concern. And he's quite nice. No, he before my lesson, he will write, Session 7, Godly Family. And he will write down my points for me. He was kind. You know? He was nice. And I think he was less stressed. Although, yeah, he does do his own thing. But, you know, he was basically part of the group, you know. Okay. The word lovely here has to do with how we communicate love to others in our activities. Because love is a necessary ingredient in the home. Yes, we learned that in the Godly Family. Love is also a necessary ingredient in friendships. Love is a necessary ingredient in the local church. So we need to ask whether the activity we do or the things we buy can lead to an opportunity to be kind to other people, or that through it, it can be a platform to help or encourage someone else. Okay? Question we ask, therefore, are the activities we do or the things we buy reflect a consideration and a regard for others? And if what we're trying to do in public or private may give questionable thoughts, like for example, hey, how come they're doing that? How come they're doing that? The moment it generates those thoughts, we need to be very careful. Okay? I just read what a pastor wrote one time. I put it up. The wealthy believer who is sensitive to this principle holds back unnecessary and expensive luxuries, not only so that the money may be better spent, but also to avoid creating a temptation and a snare to others, or to provoke envy. Like it or not, if I come in here with Ray-Ban, you know, with Seiko 24 karat, Oh, really? Sorry. That means it's appropriate for me, right? Okay. So that means it's appropriate for me today. I come in with, you know, those most expensive state-of-the-art things, and nothing wrong with buying state-of-the-art, but, you know, we have to consider if we buy this, does it affect someone else? Okay, this passage, let's read through. A self-pampering and extravagant purchase is unloving and unkind, particularly for younger believers and especially for those who can't afford it. Oh, Rajani, you mean I need to think about like that? Now I have many believers actually tell me that, Brother Johnny, this is my right to buy the things. So I agree. But is your right governed by your rights or governed by biblical guidance? If what I buy is going to stumble someone else, whether even remotely, Paul says that he would rather not eat meat as the world stands rather than stumble someone else. Because put it this way, whatever we buy, it's going to vanish away anyway, which is more important. That's Paul's thinking on this. So as we look at this, let me tell you, older believers by covetous ways sometimes have infected the entire congregation with materialism, crippling stewardship, and inflating self-seeking behaviors which are contrary to truth, potentially harmful for the Christians in the local church. The questions they need to be asked: are my purchases kind or purely self-serving and damaging to the spiritual priorities and service of others? This standard is the voice of God and the binding word of guidance from Him. May I say this? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 8. I would strengthen this. When this particular pastor spoke this, he was referring to 1 Corinthians 8, in which Paul actually mentions about eating meat, which is legitimate. All of us, we can eat meat, you know. But Paul says if the meat is given to idols, for you as a Christian, that's fine. But you know, for someone who is younger as a Christian, say, hey, you mean I can still eat meat offered to idols? Because last time he was worshipping the idols, and then now you're eating. So that means, and the conscience is confused and defiled. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 8, what God says. And verse 10, for if any man see thee, which has knowledge, see that meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? Paul says, he goes, when you offend or sin so against the brethren, you wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Biblically guided possessions and activities must always consider, does my activity or will my purchase sin against someone else, offend someone else? If it does, and you avoid it, you are biblically guided by the Holy Spirit, by God, to do the right thing. But we say, well, that's my right. It's my money. Then, it's true, it's your money. Is it guided by biblical principle? Is it guided by what God says? Okay? So in this situation, this pastor actually wrote, this standard is the voice of God. It's a binding word of guidance from Him. Because when we do something to offend someone else, it's sin. Wow. Anything. Even though you don't intend it to be, as far as God is concerned, it's still sin. Wow. The reason why God says that, you know what? Because, please remember, well, I mean, Johnny, everything is sin. No, the reason why God wants that is because God is interested in preserving the relationships you have, number one. Number two is to help younger believers grow. When we are willing to, put it this way, as fathers, if we are willing to surrender certain things for the sake of our children, what happens to our children? They grow. Let's say if we always play tennis, for example, 3 times a week, but I say, no, I'm going to spend more time with my children, I give up, maybe I'll just play 1 time a week. You know, the 6 hours you throw into your wife and your children, who grows? Yes, it's a sacrifice, but when we see God's guidance on that, I don't know about you, we can't play tennis till 70 years old. Some can, I know. But so what? The only person that's going to benefit is you. But when you throw the 6, let's say you play from 20 to 50, you invested thousands of hours in your children, guess what? At the age of 70, your children will still be around you. Your tennis will still be around, but you know some of your tennis khakis may also be. Basically what God is saying, look, invest your time and energy in the best things that will benefit your life. Okay, one of the reasons why last time in the VBS when we had it at Sembawang Secondary School, for example, one strict rule is actually we wouldn't allow anyone to buy drinks from the vending machine. Because you know why? Little children, so what? But you don't have money. It creates that covetousness, or it makes the younger one don't feel so good. Right? So this is reason why we actually do that. So the next one is, whatsoever things are, lovely. Does it communicate? Does it communicate love and care for someone else? You know, in the local church, because we are so integrated, it is impossible to live in glass houses. What we do will affect other people. But God wants us to learn to develop that care and watchfulness for another person. Because when we only watch out for ourselves, we oftentimes choose the better and not God's best. Better because it benefits us. But God says, look, I want you to be a better person. Think of the other person. Okay? Test number 6. Okay, whatsoever things are a good report. Okay? Does my activity and possessions, which by their nature, by their very nature, does it create healthy and good impression on all, including the saved? Or does involvement in these activities give a worldly impression? We need to ask, is the activity or possession well spoken of? Okay, for example, tennis, is it well spoken of? If you play tennis, is it Brother Desmond plays tennis? Do you play tennis? No? Okay. Okay, maybe, okay, he's an athletic guy, so he's being involved in 4x100 and a good report. I say, wow, he's so sinful, I get involved in 4x100. You won't do that, right? But if this person is smoking or going to the bar, is it a good report? Now, this is extreme, okay? But we can roughly see that. So, with the activity that we participate, it caused people to be shocked, surprised, or disappointed. Oh, I don't believe Pastor actually went to the bar that day. Even though it was to whatever. Can I say this? In the scriptures in 1 Corinthians, the first impression that people have oftentimes determine a lot of how they will perceive you afterwards. God wants us to be aware of that. That's why He wants us to be biblically guided to do certain things. Okay? Will it set a good example of Christian taste, humility, contentment, and being reasonable? I'll give you a question. After I'll give some examples of that. When Christians have high taste and will only buy certain and oftentimes branded things, we need to be careful. Question is, does it actually stumble people unintentionally? Not because you want to. Okay? Wow, that individual can buy that, what others see, and then they could become covetous, or they become, I need to earn more money, so I need to. Nothing wrong with earning more money, but you know, the motivation of the heart, if I see someone else and I want that, that's covetousness. So is it a good report? A good report is not just in the activity itself. What does it help? If as a pastor I do something and it stumbles one of you, as a pastor I need to put it away. I need to. Why? Because your faith is more important than whatever I want to do. If playing soccer offends you, I need to put soccer away. No, I'll play table soccer, you know. But, you know. or I ensure that I don't stumble you in any way. Okay? In children's circles, usually it's when they've acquired something, they often like to say, see, I got this. There was one time I was at the beach road, I was buying something with my family for church and things like this. Then I went to this shop, I saw, it's so sad, I saw this bigger boy with a pack of, I think, Pereiro, you know, Pereiro juice, or some wafer. And he had about four other children in front of him looking at him. You know, at the end of it, that boy just ate everything and didn't give any to any of the children, you know. And it was in front of a provision shop. And you see those poor little boys are so...
Give me one now, one only. He has this whole big pack, but he didn't give any.
And he was deliberately eating it in front of everyone. It's like, hello, I was staring at him, but he wouldn't look at me. What does it do to the other four? You know what it teaches the other four? When I grow up, that's my behavior. I'm going to bully the people under me. And that's what is happening, fortunately, through covetousness. God wants to change that. Well, what I do affects someone else. If it does, Christian, God says, look, don't offend a brother. Already they are having difficulty growing in Christ, but if we do things that may not be a good report, it can affect the other people. Okay? The poorer students, for example, may create a sense of why only they can have, I cannot have. It may cause them to fail to see their family situation, create undue expectations. I want to be clear, it may not happen in everyone's mind. But generally, sinful nature would think, how can I have that one? Why can't I have that one? Why can't I have this? When what we do affect others, comes a time, brethren, when the care of our brethren is much more important than what we personally want to do. Some activities, I'll be very clear, anime is one of them. It's okay to get involved in that. Is it okay, really, if you study the background? If as a pastor, I get involved in anime, I put it on Facebook, you know what, some people, wow, your pastor very cool. I don't think y'all will think that. It's a worldly activity. It's not a good report. As Christians, it's not a biblically guided activity. It's definitely not from God. It may satisfy some of your fantasies. It doesn't really bring you towards growing in Christ. Okay, buying really expensive clothing and flaunting it. When we actually put this, we realize sometimes people feel very tightened by this. Please understand this. When God gives a principle, I've learned this a long time ago, we can either see God's tests as a hindrance or as protection. As a hindrance or protection. If we see God's rules as hindrances, we'll always feel and we'll always complain. But when we see God's rules as God's trying to protect me, thank you, Lord, I will follow that. Just like seatbelts. Just like seatbelts. I was just talking, you know, how many of you read the news about the shooting at Khoo Teck Puat? Oh, that was quite scary. I don't know, I don't want to be close by. I want to think that Jeremiah, who has gone through some training, he probably didn't maintain his safety distance. The police always taught, maintain your 1.5-meter safety distance from your prisoner. He must be very close to be able to get the baton and the revolver and shot him. And he was alone. You must always have backup. So these are principles that the police actually have taught to protect them. You know, I don't know about you. It kind of makes me a bit. Please pray for Jeremiah. I'm very fearful, you know, for him when he's in the line of duty. Anything can happen. But I told God, if he dies in line of duty, I praise you for it because he's doing something for someone else. So this.
Something I have to go through. I told God, if he dies in line of duty, I commit him to you because he's doing something for someone else. Please pray for his safety. These things can happen.
But I constantly urge him, please maintain
safety distance. If you're a prisoner, always have your hand on your revolver.
And they are taught to shoot to protect themselves. If the people lunge at you, that's one of the things, shoot first. Because I'm thankful that in their training school, they say, the officer say, I don't want to see you in a body bag. You make sure you protect yourself. I praise God that they are encouraging this, but still, anything can happen. I understand the guy got his thumb blown off. You know, it's going to be a lifetime of... So, coming back to this, what activities may be deemed questionable is anime, buying expensive clothes. What other things are a good report? God gives us standards to protect us. Okay, like points, test 7, and then we're done. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, last part. Do the activities or possessions that I will buy have a positive quality? Because a virtue means has the idea of positive quality, intrinsic strength. Or does it have spiritual contribution to the growth and development of myself, my family, and others? Okay. Another test of the activities or possessions is, does the thing I'm going to do, the thing I'm thinking about, does it have any virtue in it? Or is it just, I like to do this because I enjoy it. I enjoy it, what? I've got people telling me, I ask them, why do you want to do this? I like it, Lord. But really, is what you like the main criteria for making a decision like that? Okay, the question is, is it helpful to character building, helpfulness to others? This standard helps us steer away from time-wasting recreation that do nothing for us. But it does give us a positive aim. Whatever I'm involved in this world, 1 Corinthians 10:31, does it say, whatsoever I eat and drink, whatsoever I do all to the glory of God. I want to make this clear, as a Christian, we are not to remain neutral. I mentioned that in the service. Remaining neutral is being on the devil's side. I say again, when we are neutral on certain things, we are on the devil's side. Because Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. It's an active allegiance. You know why? Because if you're neutral, and not on, I'm sure we all say we're on God's side, but does the activities and the leisures we have demonstrate that we're on the Lord's side? Can you see that? I can say, I'm on Benjamin's side. You know? But when he needs something, I'm sorry, I don't have time. Am I on his side? I'm not actively with him. That's why Jesus is very clear, if you're not for me, against me, it's either or. There's no neutral ground. Okay? I'll just read a counsel from a poly pastor regarding the whole area of leisure, okay? And things we do. We are created by God to relate to our surroundings and to glorify Him. For physical vigor, nervous preservation, in other words, to keep our sanity, and personal completeness, mental and physical recreational activities are of value and can have a sanctifying influence, because the more you exercise, you get fitter, you're able to do God's work better. While Paul says bodily exercise profiteth little, okay, some of us use it as an excuse not to exercise, that is wrong. But he's just making a comparison, okay? By comparison to spirit exercise, it's noteworthy that the apostle frequently employs sporting activities to illustrate aspects of the Christian life and the building of character. The discipline of the sportsman is commended, especially his determined, tenacious spirit in training. But this wise pastor, he noted, the greatest danger, however, is not the lack of leisure, but the tendency to want too much of it. Want to do it more. Why? Because it's exhilarating. It kind of increases your adrenaline. You want more of it. Two biblical principles urge restraint and caution. In Ephesians 5:15, the Bible says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to look at stewardship of our time. If we spend the whole day playing computer games, I think it's quite clear, it's not good stewardship of time. Okay? If we spend the whole day watching TV also, it's not good stewardship of time. And as parents, if we see our children the whole day doing on one activity that doesn't promote growth, we need to actually chop it up and insert, okay, we need to do this and this and this and this. So that you can actually help them to budget their time wisely. Okay, because days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil has the idea that all of us are given 24 hours as a blank check in the morning when we wake up. Many times, we already spend 5 hours extra already because we wake up at 5 o'clock. Okay? The 24 hours, it's just like, it's just redeeming. It's just buying back whatever time you have. God gives you 24 hours. Say, Lord, I'm going to spend time on this and this and this and this and this because it glorifies you. I'm going to buy back the time. Because if that 24 hours goes past without us using anything to glorify God, the 24 hours is wasted. cashed in, and what recorded in the annals of heaven, no credit. And then the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Okay? We need to buy back the time because the days are evil. And the phrase that the days are evil means, the days are not in your favor. Because something may happen the next day. If you don't do it now, if you don't do whatever you need to do now, the next day you may fall sick, or someone else may fall sick, you have to visit, something may happen that you really have to really make a lot of adjustments in order to get it done. Because the days are, time is not for you. You can get sick, things may happen. That's why God says, whatever you have, whatever thy faith might do it before thy mind, do it now. Do it now. Don't waste time. Some people say, I'll serve God tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. I'm not, on Friday I mentioned how earthquakes and all that, I'm not too sure when the Lord Jesus will come. The sense I get is the closer we get to the second coming, I think we need to be more urgent about what we need to do now. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And the Hebrew author encourages the Hebrew Jewish people to say, look, don't waste time anymore. Time is short now. Because why? Persecution is coming. You better make your decision now. During that time, first century. Right now, Christ is coming. Whatever you want to do for your family, do it now. Right? Because time is short. And stewardship is one thing. Philippians 2:21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Paul warns against self-indulgence. You know, we can indulge in ourselves. Because if we have the finances, why not? It's my, every day I go, last time when I was young, I was 8 years old, I say when I grow up, earn money, every day I want to eat one roast chicken. I decided not a good idea. Because there's a chicken rice shop downstairs and literally there's one thin guy and there's one fat guy. Wang Sa Ye Fong. You know, chicken rice. One. So I, well, because it's nice. Every day we eat that. 80 cents only last time. And now it's 350 or 480. Last time was 80 cents, so you know how long ago. So I say every day, I don't think that's a good idea. Because I also become chicken. But Paul is warning against self-indulgent behaviors of believers. Just because we have the means doesn't necessarily mean we can do what we want with it. God is still in charge of your bank account. Yes? And He gave it to us so that we can enrich and protect our families, give to the poor, support people, and yes, also enrich our own life. You know, buy certain things that will benefit the family. For the husband to buy things for the wife, for the mothers to buy things for the fathers. To bless each other, to enrich, not for self purposes. Okay? When leisure activities or any purchases or activity of any kind take believers away from spiritual service for the Lord, which is their reasonable service, it actually become idolatrous activities. Why? Because you put something in between God and your spiritual service. Okay? Christians are not called as God's people to pamper themselves or to be good at play, but to be open to leisure if it serves the objectives we have mentioned, taking nothing from spiritual priorities, because Jesus Himself says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. The Lord's specific guidance is required for decisions which govern the major routes and turning points of your life. Whereas recreational pursuits and most of the possessions are a matter of personal choice. But even these things of personal choice should be chosen by sincere application of the biblical rules, apostles' rules. Because this is authentic Christian obedience and the necessary foundation for seeking God's definitive will in the major things of your life. If in the smallest, even in the handphone you use, even in the music you listen to, if you are serious about seeking God's will, there is no problem for you to find God's will when you grow up. Would you agree with that? Because you're so in tune with what God wants all along. There will be no problem. And can I say that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. When we are willing to say, Lord, I fear You more than anything, I'll seek Your will, God says, I'll tell you my secrets. Why is it that some believers know more than others? Not because they are more holy, but because God has allowed that believer to draw closer to Him. So the believer put aside time from the world to spend time with God. God begins to show them more and more. That's why when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, what happened to him? The people couldn't even look at him. Why? He spent time in the presence of God. And his face was so glowing, they had to put him,
Moses, please put a veil out. Cannot tahan, your face too bright. It's interesting. The more you spend time in the presence of God, you reflect the image of Christ. Amen? And that's what God wants us to do. So, any questions? Next, yes. Yes. The word careful means full of care. Anxious? So it's useful. Be careful for nothing. That means don't be anxious for... In other words, basically, what point? Don't worry about anything. But the moment the thing comes out in your mind, do what? Pray. Say, Lord, look, God, I'm anxious about this. I pray that you will... I know that you're in charge, so God, help me. I put my faith in you. Yeah? So that's important. Okay? I know it's important for brother friends. Anyone else? Hopefully this... next week, I will actually... I've already put all that into a small table. So in any activities you have, anything you want to buy, any friend, any situations really, all the 10 tests are actually put into one piece of paper that you can actually print out a few. And then in any situation you have, just submit, subject that to that. And honestly, reply so that at the end, by God's grace, based on God's Bible principles, you have a definitive will. All right, of God. Okay? Anyone? Let's have a word of prayer. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for the willingness of your people to hear the word of God. Lord, help us not to put any idolatrous things before us because we love you. Yeah, we are weak, Lord. We are weak. But yet, Lord, in our hearts, we still want to do the right thing, to love you above all because how much of you loved us. And Lord, we want to do your will. Father, if there's a brethren here today who may have made decisions, Father, and say, oops, I didn't consider what God says, I pray, Father, that we're humble enough to come to you and say, Father, Lord, I pray that you help us to put aside the debris, set aside the debris, and re-look at your word again, so that everything we do in our lives, Lord, will be governed strongly by your word, that at the end of the day, Father, we will be a people guided by the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your people. Fill us with the Spirit of God. And even today, as we remember Father's Day, I ask your Holy Spirit to bless every father. And even as we learn the scriptures with regards to fathering, and we pray, Lord, that you will speak to us in a powerful, powerful way. I pray for every teenager to take this guidance to heart because, Lord, life is going to throw them many decisions they have to make. I pray that their parents will reinforce that and the teenagers as they grow, they will begin to know that there is the right way and there is a way to find God's definitive will in every situation. Help us to be honest with ourselves, honest with you, and honest with the scriptures so that at the end, Lord, we know that we will be honoring you and we will fulfill 1 Corinthians 10:31, that whatever we do, we bring glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you. Bless the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.